Let's read here tonight. I want to read verses 1 down through verse 16. Book of Isaiah, chapter 41. It says, "Keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near. Let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. Who raised up the righteous man from the east, called him to his foot, gave the nations before him, and made him rule over kings. He gave them as the dust to his sword and as driven stubble to his bone. He pursued them and passed safely, even by the way that he had not gone with his feet. Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first and with the last, I am he. The isles saw it and feared. The ends of the earth were afraid, drew near and came. They helped every one his neighbor, and every one said to his brother, Be of good courage. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smootheth with the hammer him that smote the anvil, saying, It is ready for the soldering. And he fastened it with nails, that it should not be moved. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham my friend. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, Thou art my servant. I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed to get thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, and shall make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them, and thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you this evening for this your tremendous word. Oh God, we come to it with anticipation. We come to it tonight with wonder. And yea, Lord, we even come tonight asking for understanding of it. Lord, as we behold its words, sometimes we have not within us, without the Spirit of God, we have not the ability to behold its wonder and its beauty. So, Spirit of God, tonight we ask that you would move upon us in a very special way. I pray, oh God, that tonight that we would you would cause us to be susceptible to the things of God. Work in our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. Please go ahead and be seated. This chapter, as we have read in these 16 verses, have somewhat of a prophetic message. However, that is not its main goal, and I believe really it is given to us as an encouragement. Let me ask you a question. How many would say, Preacher, there are times in my life I need encouragement? Amen. We need encouragement. We need somebody to sometimes just give us a word of edification. We need that. There's not one of us really that don't need that. Matter of fact, some of us would say, Preacher, and I'd be one of those, I could use that just about every hour of the day. Amen. Because the onslaughts of the devil are torrential. They are horrendous. They are constant. And thus, thank God he is the one there to bring that encouragement. But thank God when he uses people as well. As we come to this tonight, I want to just say this. I do not believe in replacement theology. You say, what in the world are you talking about? Replacement theology basically takes all the promises of the Word of God that's given to the Jew and says that God is done with the Jew, never will deal with him ever again, and so all these promises belong to you and I. Well, I don't believe it's they've been replaced. I believe they're still God's people. I don't believe God's done with a Jew. As a matter of fact, I believe that's obvious as he brought them back into their land in 1947, and they're still there. And I believe we're going to see some tremendous things prophetically yet to take place with the nation of Israel in the very, very near future. Matter of fact, because those things are so near to the horizon, I believe we are about to meet the upper taker. I believe the trumpet's about to sound. Whatever angel has that trumpet in his hands, I believe he's wetting his lips. Aren't you thinking that same thing? I believe that, you know, there's a spit valve on those trumpets. Did you know that? I mean, he's got this thing cleaned out, ready to blow. And it is getting close. I believe the shout is about ready to be made. And you and I who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are being swept into glory. I mean, just like that. In a moment, the Bible says, in a twinkling of an eye. But God's not done, I don't believe, with a Jew. I do believe in application theology. That's my own term, by the way. And what that simply means is we study the Word of God and we can make application. And here I believe God would have us to make some application to our own lives. After the great abiding presence of God is shown in this chapter and the previous one, we find that He invites all peoples to come near to Him. Notice verse number 1 says, "Keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near. Then let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment." Here I believe is an invitation by God to the nations of the world really to come near unto Him. Is that not always His plea? Is that not like our God to invite us to be within His fold and within His hold? And so we find here that He speaks to these, and then we find that He speaks of one that He is going to raise up. Matter of fact, He says, who is doing this? Verse number 4 says, I, the Lord, the first and with the last, I am He. God is going to, He says here, do some things. And what He says He's going to do is bring a man on the scene. And I believe this is prophetic of the man Cyrus. Now, there's a difference of opinion on that, but as I look at this, it just seems to be that way. He is prophesied in other places in the book of Isaiah. Matter of fact, he is named in this book several hundreds of years before he comes on the scene. And so here is a place, he's speaking of a man that he's going to raise up out of the east, who is basically going to rule the then known world. And this man is going to come to this place very, very quickly. And so he comes, and he really comes in a position of judgment. God uses different rulers through the years to bring judgment upon nations because of their sin. And so the God of creation, the God of all creation, is now proclaiming He is the God of history and of the affairs of men. And He has brought forth, or is bringing forth, one who is going to conquer, and He is going to rule vast territories. Now, what we find in the next couple of verses, verses 5, 6, and 7, is what takes place. And I believe what this is trying to teach us is, it says, the isles saw it, and what does it say? And they feared. And we find in verse number 6, they helped everyone his neighbor. And most believe that what he's referring to here is the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith. It is talking about those artificers who brought forth and made the idols for men to worship. And rather than turn to God, men helped each other in their quest towards idol worship. Has that not been the case through the ages? You will not find men, for the most part, turning to God, but always turning some other direction. And we find that even in our own country, so often, rather than to God, we find ourselves turning to our own forces, our own abilities, and our own gods. And so we find then this takes place. But, he says in verse number 8, thou, Israel, art my servant. Here God speaks to these people who are really, at this point, are turning away from God. Though under Isaiah we find that there is some revival and some turning back to God, it is not but 100 years later they are taken into severe captivity. Not only the land of Israel, but also Judah. And so to these people, God begins to speak, and He's saying, hey, this is some things I am going to do for you in spite of who you are. And if you notice in verse number 8, He says, but thou, Israel, art my servant. Remember, the name Israel means the prince that prevails with God. Jacob had wrestled with God all night. And in the morning, we find that he was renamed. And from that point on, they were no longer called the children of Jacob. You don't hear that term, do you? But they're the children of Israel, the one who prevailed with God. Matter of fact, he speaks then of Israel, and then he says of Jacob, whom I have chosen. It was he who he chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Sandwiched in between is Jacob. The supplanter is what his name means, or heel grabber, a deceiver. And God chose him. Aren't you glad that God is willing to reach down and to touch you and I who are sinners? We who are deceptive, we who are caught up in ourselves. And yet we find that God reaches down and takes a hold of us and brings us unto Himself. And I love the phrase here, Abraham, my friend. Consider that. Who do you reveal your inmost secrets to but your friends? Jesus, matter of fact, referred to you and I as His friend. And what does He give us? The Word of God, that He might reveal to us His wonderful and most glorious secrets. Well, the next few verses were initially expressed, of course, to Israel. And we find in these verses, however, what many Christians have found as great comfort. Let's look at them just briefly. Verse number 10. And here's a verse that many have gathered and used through the years. And I hope that perhaps it will be a blessing to you. Fear thou not. How many times do we fear? How many times are there things that are before us and we're scared of what might happen? Our students, bless their heart, they had great testimonies this morning, but they were fearful. They didn't know what they were getting into. I'm sure that Crystal, she stood and looked at all those strange faces sitting out there with pencils in their hand, ready to critique every little move and every little voice reflection, I think was probably a little scared. She's smiling. I know. I have stood there. How many would like to come up here tonight? Most you'd say, not on your life. And there's a fearfulness in being in different places. But God says here, fear thou not. What's He say? For I am what? With thee. I am with thee. Here's an interesting thing. Oftentimes, as we're praying, we pray strangely. You know that. I want you to really stop thinking about this for a moment. We pray really strangely. We pray things that are already happening. We say, God, would you be with me? Be with us, God. He's already promised that. And He has said that. Matter of fact, what we ought to be praying is, God, make me aware of Your presence. He's already there. The problem's not God, it's us. Okay, but I know what we're saying. We do that, but God's, He's there. He says, I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. What's He say? I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. What a tremendous promise God has given there. Perhaps you can claim that one of these days. Perhaps you can claim that right now. Verse number 11, He says, behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. God says there's those who rise up against you, those who are, they're not really your friend. They have said things, they've done things against you. But He says, listen, there will come a time when they're ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. I'll tell you something. It may seem like you're on the losing end, but victory is on its way. There are many battles and many places that we go through. And many times it seems like the whole thing is going to crash down upon us. But remember those words, and it came to pass. We have victory always awaiting on the other side. God takes us through. He promises that. They will, enemies eventually be put aside. Matter of fact, in verse number 12, He says, they will one of these days be out of your mind. Thou shalt seek them and shall not find them. Even them that contendeth we, they that war against thee shall be as nothing, as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Now, I realize tonight that there are folks in here that are left-handed. But most in here are right-handed. The right hand generally speaks of strength. In fact, for a right-handed person, that is your stronger hand. It speaks of the dominance. Matter of fact, the Lord sets where? At the right hand of God. He sets at the place of strength, interceding for you and for me. He's sitting at the place where the strength is most vivid. And yet we find that God says, in this case with you and mine, that God holds on to our hand. He says, I have your right hand. If we come to a busy intersection and we're walking with our children, and we come up to this spot and the light is about to turn, I mean, even before we get to that, we're going to reach down and grab their hand. We're going to hold on to them with all our might because we do not want them to rush out into that traffic. You know, they might be 2 or 3 years of age. They might be like some of our little boys here who have so much energy. Don't you wish you had their energy? I mean, those guys can think up more stuff to do in 3 minutes than I can do in a full day. And I just marvel at that. I'm excited to see what God's going to do with some of our little boys. I am. Now, some of you look and say, they're army, isn't it? Little brats. No. They are something in the making. And I'm looking forward to that. It's really, if God gives me enough years, we can see that. Some of you guys were that way many years ago. Don't you wish you still had some of it? Some of that energy? But listen, what do? You're going to come up. You're not going to say, grab onto my hand. Huh? No, you're not going to do that. That's just not going to happen. Penny, you're not going to say to little Noah, grab my finger. We're going to cross Broadway. That's not going to happen, is it? No. You're going to reach out and grab his hand. That's the way it is. That's what God is saying here. That's what God does for us. And just a beautiful picture we find here. And then he says, fear not, I will help thee. Someday, I might sit down and add up how many times God says, fear not. But he does often throughout the Word of God. Why? Because we have so many fears. So many things that we're frightened of. And God says, don't be afraid. He says, I got a hold of you. And notice what he says in verse 14. And really where I'm going tonight. Fear not, thou worm Jacob. And ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Notice what he calls him here. Fear not thou what? Worm. I entitled the message tonight, The Impotent Endowed with Strength. Or maybe I could say power. The impotent, those who are not power, they are endowed with power. Now I want you to look at this verse, and it calls him a worm. Worms are lowly creatures. Fishermen use them for bait. You walk on the sidewalk after a rain and they're there on the sidewalk and you don't move your foot right, you squish them. They're dead. They have little strength. They are that which is lowly, that which is out strength. The song says, such a worm as I. And that's a picture of you and of me. And he says, fear not thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. God could say in this sense to you and me, fear thou not. And call us worms. But yet notice, as we go to the next verse, he said, behold, I will make thee a what? A new, sharp, threshing instrument having teeth. We're going from that which is a lowly worm to a threshing instrument, that which can cut and shred, that which can tear off the branches, that which can take care of that in the fields. He says that which has teeth, that which can do destruction if you please. He says, I will make thee that. I will do it. From a worm that can be trampled underfoot to, let's put it in our age, a combine that can eat up and level the field. But he not only speaks of the field, he speaks, thresh the mountains and beat them small. And what does God say? He says, I will make thee. It is God's work to change you and I and to make us into something that we are not. Somebody says, I can't do that. No, you can't. But God can. It was emphasized to our kids, and may I emphasize it to you tonight. Yes, you cannot, but God can through you. Paul said, I can do what? All things through Christ Jesus, which what? Strengtheneth me. It is only God who can do that in our lives. And I say that to you tonight to say this. We need, we must allow Him to develop us. God wants to make us into something else. God wants to change us. God wants to empower us. But we must allow Him to do that. It will not happen when we say, no, God, I'm not going to try. We can't do that when we disallow Him to use us in our faltering ways in order to improve us. The first time I got on a bicycle, it was a girl's 26-inch, big fat wheels. Remember those? It was the only kind they made back in those days. It was on gravel in our driveway. Our driveway was as wide as this room. We lived on the farm. It was an area they brought the tractors and everything into. And it was we lived on a hill, but it was a nice big flat area. And I wanted to learn how to ride that bicycle. I mean, can you imagine? I was about 6 years of age. I'm on this 26-inch bicycle. I mean, I'm a Harley rider. And I got my feet on the pedals. I can't reach the seat. And my sister's with me, and she's going to help me. Don't trust your sister. She's got a hold of it, and I'm going. And I look back, and she wasn't with me. Do you know what rock does to skinny little legs in a driveway in the summertime? I was bloody. My sister's fault. But she told me something. She'd get up. Smart like sisters. Get up, let's try it again. I didn't want to try it again. I'm bleeding. I probably, if you looked at my knees, I probably have scars there. And she said, get up. Let's do it again. I thought, yes. I didn't know about Lucy and the inevitable football pull away. Is it Linus that always is trying to kick that football? Charlie Brown? One of those guys. And so we tried again. And sure enough, she let go. But this time, I didn't want to fall down. And I'm trying to keep that bike up. I want to tell you, that bicycle went in all kinds of weird paths. And I finally crashed. And little by little, I got so it would go nice and straight and I could turn the corners when I wanted to. And we moved to town and we had sidewalks to ride on. What an improvement. And when I was a boy, I rode my bicycle all over this town. And I was here, I was there. I spent the day wandering the city of Council Bluffs. I said, boy, your mother wasn't a very good mother. No, every mother in the countryside was your protector in those days. Nonetheless, I learned how to write it. What are you trying to say, preacher? God wants to take us from a worm to a powerful, sharp, threshing instrument having teeth. God wants to make us effective, and we need to allow Him to develop us. We need to allow God to what? Show us how to do it. To help us to improve. And by the way, we need to also understand we have never arrived. We have never gotten to the place that we are perfect. I can always learn to stand this pulpit and preach better. You can always learn how to stand before students and teach them better. You can always learn how to be a better parent. There is always room for improvement. Let me put this word there, vast improvement in our lives. Amen? But that's what God wants to do. And notice He says, I will make thee into this, a sharp threshing instrument having teeth, that which can accomplish the job. If we are going to improve in these areas, if we're going to allow God to make us, then we need to learn to listen. I heard this, I use it in my own advice. If you're going to be a good leader, you must first be a good follower. But may I also say, if you're going to be a good teacher, you must also be a good listener. I sat on the hillside many years ago, and I scratched my head because Dan Allen was there speaking to young people, and he said these words. He said, listen to what you hear. I looked and I thought, what are you talking about? He said, look at what you see. I thought, Dan, you have flipped your lid. What is wrong with you? And then he began to explain. And it began to make sense. We hear, but we often do not listen. We hear words, but we often do not listen to those words and seek to allow them to enter into our soul. And if you and I are going to allow God to make us into that kind of threshing instrument that is of value, that which can do the job in harvesting the crop that is there. By the way, what does He want us to do? He wants us to enter into those fields of harvest, does He not? They are white unto harvest. We cannot do it as a worm. God has to make us into something, but we need to allow Him to do that, and we need to learn to listen to Him and to listen to all the instructions He has for us. Too often we just hear it. Too often we pick up the Word of God and we just read it. We see it, but we're not really looking at it. We're seeking to soothe our conscience because the preacher said you ought to read a chapter a day to keep the devil away. But we don't allow it to enter into our soul. We see it, but we don't look at it. We hear things, but we do not listen. We live in an age when many of our young people are disabled. They're not able to listen. Oh, they got the functions of their body. They can walk. They can talk. They do plenty of that. Their arms are not crippled. Their legs are not crippled. They do not have any functions that are of malady as far as the body is concerned. But they're disabled because they have not learned how to listen. Not learned how. I can give you a number of reasons for that. One of those is because parents allow their children to spend too much time in front of a dumb TV. And when I say dumb TV, they're smart TV too. There are things that can activate the mind, but there are some things that just dull it. And if there's not an action figure in front, their mind cannot work. All of it's being done for them. They've not learned how to listen. Oh, how we need to learn that in our lives. See, how do you do that? When you hear it, pay attention. Pay attention to it. Let God make you into something. That's what God wants to do. Amen? God is in that position. You say, I'm 53 years of age. It's too late for me. No, it isn't. God is making us into a new threshing instrument. It doesn't matter our age. It doesn't matter our status. It doesn't matter. God wants to do that if we will allow Him. That is important. I say to you parents, let God teach you how to parent. You say, my kids are teenagers. You need some learning. I had five of them in my house at one time. So you had some relatives over? No. They were five of my own teenagers at one time. It'll teach you something. Scare the fire out of most people. But there's ways God wants us to do things. God wants us to enter into lives. God wants us to do things in the lives of others and be a help and a blessing. God wants to make us and use us. Parents, you need to let God do that. I say to those of you who are working in our church and in our school, our Sunday school, Master Club, all of those things, we need to let God teach us. He's trying to make us better day after day. But too often, we're not listening. This message tonight is a message of warning. Let God do what He wants to do. Open the ears. Let God use you. He wants to do that. Don't say no to Him. Don't say, I can't. Let God use you. Let God do that. My goodness, He can do some things. I hope I don't embarrass you. I saw this young lady as she's developed from very, 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 very shy to stand in front of 100 people she did not know and sing with heart. She hasn't arrived. She's just starting. Has much to learn in music, much to learn in all the mechanics, and much yet to give in that area. God's not done with you, but I've seen God do that. And I can look at any of these kids. I can look at you adults. I've seen what God has done in lives. But don't turn and say, it's as far as I can go. God wants to do something. He wants to make you into a threshing instrument with teeth. A threshing instrument without teeth is like the gospel without the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And God wants to do something in your life. Father, tonight, work in our hearts. Oh God, help us understand tonight, this is Your business. But oh God, help us also understand, we need to let You. In our stubbornness, in our self-righteousness, in our arrogance, oh God, we don't allow that. Lord, help us to understand that we are but a worm, and all this is what You want to do. Lord, it's by Your grace, it's by Your strength, You're the one. You're the only one who can take us through this life. Oh God, thank you for the promises of this chapter. Thank you as we look back in chapter 40. As we that wait upon you, you allow us to mount up as wings as eagles. Oh, how marvelous a God you are that you want to do in our lives. Lord, I pray tonight that there's one here that's discouraged. There's one here tonight that's maybe about to quit, just thinking it's not ever going to happen in their life. May they see that they're the ones that you want to use. And that you can take a worm and make him into a threshing instrument with teeth. Lord, I pray that you would bring about a determination of lives. I pray, oh God, that you would give in the hearts here tonight the realization, understanding, and the acceptance of your will in these areas. Lord, bless in these moments of meditation. No doubt some here really ought to come and just say, Lord, here am I. Teach me. I want you to use me. Lord, I'm sorry for being closed in my mind to you. I'm sorry, oh God, that I have said I can't do that and refuse to allow you to change it. God, work in our hearts tonight. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.